Good morning. Ken Tucker here with Changescape Web. I'm the host of Move the Needle Marketing Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be here with a friend and colleague, master duct tape marketing consultant, Brad Tornberg. Brad, it's great to have you here today.
Nice to be here, Ken.
I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Brad. I think he's got a very impressive career. He's the owner of E3 Consulting and Market Simplicity. He's the author of Business Fitness Revolution, a book that came out and was published a couple of years ago. And he has 30 years of experience in the business software space with CRM and ERP systems with both large and small businesses and medium businesses as well. CRM is customer relationship management. ERP is enterprise resource planning systems. And so today what we're going to really focus on is talking about CRM or customer relationship management. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and get into the questions. So, you ready?
Great.
Okay. All right, so I think there's a lot of confusion about what may or may not constitute a CRM out there in the marketplace. So given that, you know, I think it's what the first question I guess I really have is, how does a business choose a CRM?
It's a good question, Ken. Typically what I see out there is a lot of companies follow the shiny object syndrome. They read about some great new tool that's out there that's going to help them close and convert sales, and they go out and they run and they buy it without any thought, and they go to implement it, and of course they have a very high degree of failure. What has to happen first is you need to kind of understand, why do you need CRM? I mean, are you using it because CRM has so many different pieces to it? It's how do you plan on using CRM and for what reason do you need to have it? Some people will use it as a way of just maintaining contacts. Other people look at it for the tools that are contained within it, like workflow, so that they can move people along within their sales cycle or their marketing cycle. It's a great way. Most of the CRM systems that are out now have a service component or a project management component to it. So it gives you the ability to look at the full life cycle of a relationship. And that's what, you know, customer CRM is, customer relationship management. So it really depends on what are the areas that you're trying to kind of gain under control. Where are there areas for improvement in your business? And more importantly, how can we implement this in a way that our people will use it and embrace it?
Okay. So that's a little bit about the different types of CRMs. I mean, can you give me an example or maybe talk about the landscape of some of the CRMs that are out there, and maybe whether they're applicable to small, medium, or large businesses?
Sure. A lot of times when I have workshops, I kind of show it as two levels of CRM. There are the basic contact management solutions like the Insightly and the ACT and the Zoho, which have basic contact management and may have additional pieces with it, like the ability to manage tasks and activities, the ability to escalate things and do stuff like that. They are considered to be in the family, a lot of them, of contact management. Whereas you start to move into some of these larger scale systems like Microsoft CRM and Salesforce, which really are application suites. They're designed to be front ends that kind of sit on top of your accounting data as a way of kind of aggregating all that data up so that you have a single 360 degree view of the customer. And then there's those that cost more, which are considered to be CRM platforms. So CRM is part of it, but yet they may have lead generation, inbound marketing, social media, the ability to incorporate landing pages and websites. And those are the platform tools like the HubSpots, the Marketos, and things like that. So there's very different scale and size as well as price.
Okay. One of the ones that I found really to be intriguing, especially for a small business, because it's pretty affordable. And I'm not a CRM expert, but it seemed like it had a unique position in the marketplace, at least early on, and that was Nimble, because it's what they consider to be a social CRM. So it created a social inbox that pulled in all of your status updates from, you know, and notifications and messages from LinkedIn and Facebook, and as well as your email systems. Is that common for CRMs now?
Yeah, actually, most of the CRMs now have moved into this what's called social listening space, where if you have a contact, an account, or a contact, and you want to follow them, what it allows you to do is to insert their social media profiles and things like that, so that as they're starting to talk about certain things, it lets you see what they're talking about, which helps you better target your presentation, your strategy towards them, understanding what some of their pain points are, what are some of the things that are current in their brain, in their mind.
Yeah, or even, you know, if they posted that they went to see the Yankees game last night, and you could tell that they're a Yankees fan before you go to a meeting
right.
with them.
And let's face it, today it's really about developing a deep relationship that's conversational, right? We talk about that a lot, and that's that, you know, you have to be able to connect to someone on a personal level, and they have to know, like, and trust you, which is what we talk about in duct tape marketing, in order for them to further the relationship. So one of the best ways to do that is to find out where their interests are and where your interests are, and be able to kind of draw that commonality between the two of you, which really gives you an advantage over your competitors who don't have that intelligent information in front of them.
Yeah, okay. A term that I come across, and I have no idea what it really means, is XRM. I think it's probably related to CRM, but can you talk about the difference between XRM and CRM and, you know, how they're different?
Absolutely. CRM, customer relationship management, the C is pretty strong. It stands for customer. But what's interesting about XRM or CRM is it's really a platform. And what I mean by that is most of the systems that are out there are toolkits that allow you to make customizations to it to pretty much fit anything you want. Like, I'll give you a couple of examples of how XRM is different than CRM. Howard County Government in Maryland uses CRM as an XRM tool as a way of tracking all of the children that are in danger within their jurisdiction. So what they do is they have their names in there, and then they scatter diagram them so they can see where they're concentrated, and they can provide services for them. So the X in that case is constituents. Liberty State University, Bowie State University were institutions that I work with that use the XRM as a way of managing better student outcomes. So, you know, if it was an inner city school that had a very high turnover rate or had a very high dropout rate, and the average college education is 4 years, but it was taking people at this school 6 years, then by having an XRM system that would take the information from the student grade systems as well as other pieces and aggregate that together, they could better manage the outcome of the student. So the X in this case is a student. So X could be any kind. It could be vendors, customers, anything that you want to have a relationship with or that you need to track information against.
Okay. Apologize for the background noise. We're here at a hotel because it's actually one of the times that Brad and I get to connect up, and I always like to try to do these live when possible. So the next thing I wanted to talk to you about was and I don't even know if these are considered to be CRMs, but there are, you know, for contractors, for example, I know there are a lot of job scheduling systems that are out there. They capture contact information. You actually book an appointment. You set a schedule. And one of the things that I think is really important to realize, whether that's the kind of system that you need, or you really need a much more robust CRM solution, it made me think about the really probably one of the most critical things that a business needs to answer. And that is, what does the system need to interface with or integrate with?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because what people don't really understand is CRM by itself is usually not a standalone system. It's usually integrated, or it's the front end piece of the information behind it. But integrated CRM systems out there, let's take Microsoft CRM, for example. When you think of CRM, you think of customer relationship management. But it has so much more. It has a service aspect with scheduling on it for people that are in the service business, and it has a project management piece for people that are managing lots of tasks around projects. So what you need to understand is what is it that your business is looking to do? You're managing the entire life cycle of your customers. So if you're a service business, that life cycle looks different than a product base. What CRM gives you, though, is an underlying architecture that allows you to develop workflows that mirror your business process, your cycle of managing a customer. So the integration piece becomes important when there's triggers or information you're looking to gather from those subsystems. And most of the systems that are available today, you know, especially the more robust ones or the more expensive ones, that's where their trigger is. Their trigger is they provide integration to back-end systems, where a lot of the less expensive ones are more like out-of-the-box, plug them in and play.
Okay, and then you might have to write your own custom integrations, assuming they even expose their API.
Excellent point. Most of the middle to upper tier CRM solutions are really toolkits in a box. They give you the ability to customize everything, screens, fields, tabs, forms, reports. So realistically, you could take an entire system and make it look custom to you. Good example of that is I just did a children's museum. And what all they wanted in their CRM system was the parent's name, the membership number, an email address, and the child's name. And, you know, a normal CRM system, when you open up the contact screen, has 30 or 40 or 50 fields on it. Well, we were able to get rid of everything, create those three fields, and put it in a lookup list. Very simple, probably overkill for what they need, but the point is you can customize it down to the way you need to use it, and you have the scalability of reopening it up at any given point as the business needs change or the business expands.
Yeah. Interesting. So, you know, in the duct tape marketing world, you know, one of the core concepts is the marketing hourglass.
Yes.
And so, you know, you're talking about the marketing side of things transitioning into the sales and then the customer retention side.
Lead conversion versus lead generation, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, you talk about CRM, and I think it's important to really realize that, you know, a lot of times we get kind of locked in on working really hard to get a customer, but we forget about managing the relationship with a customer
and the
after they become
value.
A customer, and the lifetime value and the importance of them, their referral power that they have, the repeat buying power that they have. Is there anything specific about a CRM solution that you want our listeners to know about when it comes to that aspect of, you know, transitioning from from leads to conversion to customer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a funnel that you have to kind of go through, and touching someone, you know, what is the old marketing ad? You got to touch someone five times before they know who you are and you can begin the relationship. I think the thing that CRM gives you is gives you visibility into your pipeline. And, you know, I always say this to my clients, the only lead that's dead is a lead that really passed away and died. Other than that, they're dormant and they may need to be woken up. And wouldn't it be nice that once you put someone in your system, you have a predefined methodology of how to convert them into a live customer to bring them into your funnel? The whole idea of a CRM system is to do what you think you can do, but you don't do, which is moving your customers along to get them to convert to some action, whether that action is an opt-in, whether that action is a purchase, whether that action is whatever. That's something that the system gives you a benefit of. The workflow, the automation capability that's built into CRM is the reason to purchase CRM, because I like to set it and forget it. I mean, if I've taken the time to understand how my customers convert to my clients, I can build a funnel specific to that. And once people touch me one time, they're now in my funnel, they're now in my cycle, and they're being systematically brought forward in a mechanized fashion.
Well, and also just stay maybe in frequent contact with existing customers. And
sure. Remember, if you're in front of people too much, you're noise. If you're not in front of them enough, you're not relevant. You have to be in front of them with the right amount of touches, and you have to provide value in that relationship by continuing to educate them on your product or on your service, bringing them down a path that eventually leads them to the, I need this and need to purchase it.
Yeah, or I need to stay a customer
or
and not go look for somebody else.
Correct, because remember something, right? It's a lot cheaper to maintain a relationship with a customer and get them to buy from you a second time than it is to go out and find a new one. However, as salespeople, we tend to be focused on the hunt and kill.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about the important factors relating to a successful implementation or maybe more importantly, they're probably both important, but also why implementations tend to fail.
This is a good point to bring up, because the highest degree of failure in software implementation is in the CRM space, because people look at it like it's a silver bullet. It's going to cure all their issues with sales. Mm. Once I have a CRM system set up, my sales are on auto drive. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So the first thing I think that comes to mind with me is what makes CRM successful is a couple of things. One, setting very realistic expectations. while a CRM system can do a lot of things, I equate it to eating an elephant. You want to do it one bite at a time. You want to eat small pieces, because what you need to do is you need to establish buy-in from the people who are using it. Now, the people who are using it are typically salespeople. The last thing a salesperson wants to do is be bogged down in a situation where he has to enter information into a system, because A, he thinks it's Big Brother watching him, and B, what's the purpose of it? I know my business. Reality of it is, if the salesman can see the value in the tool, okay, because the first thing I hear is, I get 100 emails a day, and I can't track all those emails, and it would be really nice for me not to have to look for them. So the first thing I do is I try to get them into what's their experience. If they're working in Microsoft Outlook, then more than likely, I'm going to push them into a tool like Microsoft CRM, because the user experience doesn't change. Okay. They're using Outlook as an everyday tool. I'm teaching them that now that you use Outlook, all you got to do is click one button, and guess what? Now that's also up in CRM, and the email's attached to it, as well as the entire stream. Well, that's something they like. So you give them a little taste of it, they begin to buy into it, and then you begin to expand that functionality over a period of time. The problem is companies mandate that their salespeople have to use it. They jam it down their throat, and then what happens is you get this natural resentment, and two things occur. One, the salesman gets to a point where he stumbles and says, nobody ever asked for my opinion on this. Well, if you want to stop that noise, you have to involve them in from the very beginning of the process in the design of it. So that when they do that, you say, well, wait a minute. You were involved in the design. You were the one that was asked this question. So this is the decision that we made together. So the problem a lot of time happens is senior executives make the decision they need CRM. They don't involve the people who are using the tool on a day-to-day basis. And I always say this, when the generals are in a boardroom and they make a battle plan and they forget to tell the privates, at the end of the day, you have a lot of dead soldiers. And it's about that consistency of the messaging and having everyone marching on the same page and understanding what it is. So the biggest cause of failure is lack of buy-in. And the best thing a company can do is involve the users in the process.
Okay. So, you know, I think back a couple of years ago, I ran for office, and I actually used a CRM that's designed for political campaigns, which I didn't ever really think about it in those terms until just now. One of the things that was really beneficial for me as a candidate, I was going and knocking on a lot of doors. And I had, on my phone, I had an app that I could pull up the voter information. I could see the conversations that I had or somebody from my campaign staff had. But the thing I loved about it was that it had a voice recording feature, so that I could go in, I could knock on a door, I could spend my entire focus talking with that constituent or potential constituent. And then as I was walking to the next door, I just recorded my notes. Instead of having to stop and type, and it made data entry super easy. Is that a common feature of CRM platforms?
You know what? It's not a common feature, but it is a feature, just like the ability to attach all kinds of documents. I mean, if you look at CRM as an information repository, it buys you a lot of good things. One, obviously, you have legal record of everything that happened, which is important in some cases. Especially for a lot of industries. But also, what people don't realize is, if a CRM system is fed correctly, it becomes a knowledge base that other people can tap into. So now, onboarding salespeople, you have a defined process. Their ability to go to market is much quicker, and their ability to be productive is much quicker. And if your scripts start to go into CRM, or your how come you won an opportunity versus why did you lose an opportunity, competitive intelligence, all of those things come into play in a good CRM system. So you can see why I won it, why I lost it, what do I need to do to change it, and you begin to refine your own selling cycle and your own selling process.
Yeah, and if there are multiple people from your organization that are involved in communicating during the sales process with your client, it's got to be invaluable, because you're probably going to have the technical guy at some point have to hop on a call to explain some things. And if the salesperson documented that information up front, the technical person can use that as prep, or vice versa. If there are technical things that the technical team needs to let the sales team know before they go on a call.
Well, that's interesting, because anyone who's doing any form of team selling that's not using CRM is doomed to fail. I mean, to me, especially in engineering firms and in technology firms, The salesman needs to have a view as to what's going on in the account. The salesman also needs to know what technical information is remaining for me to collect so that I can complete the cycle for sales. Having one of the nice things about some of these systems that are out there is they essentially have these predefined processes that you can build out your own or customize that take you through what's called guided selling, so that you're not missing anything. You ever get to the end of a sale and realize that someone forgot to ask a critical question, which either blows the sale or forces you to go all the way back to the beginning to collect that information? Yeah. Well, what you want to be able to do is move in one direction, and that's forward. And having these processes that don't let you get to the next step unless you completed this step, in other words, it's required versus optional, that's a pretty cool feature for you to have, because what it does is it essentially checks your work to make sure that you're doing everything you need to be. Now, some people find that to be rigid, but that's the reason why a lot of these steps are designed to be optional steps. You don't necessarily have to do them. You may be able to short circuit the sale, but isn't it nice to be able to see that maybe this is something that should be in my mind when I'm talking to my prospect or my customer?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're running close to time. I like to try to keep these at about 20 to 30 minutes, so I guess the last question I have, and I think we may have touched upon it just a little bit, but I think it's super important for people to think about, and that is, what are the opportunities that businesses miss if they're not using a CRM? And we just talked about one scenario, but can you elaborate a little bit more on some other things?
Well, from a pure analytics point of view, understanding your customer base and what their purchasing habits are and how long it takes them to make decisions and what triggers incite them to move, and seeing what they have in common with other people who meet your customer profile, I think is crucial to success, because the more that you can focus in on that ideal customer of yours, the, you know, demographic-wise and opportunity-wise, then the better chance or the higher rate of closing you're going to have. I mean, to me, the whole purpose of having CRM is to have a higher close rate, because you have better intelligence and you're also, your timing is much better. So the opportunities to be able to remarket to existing clients, the opportunities to ask for referrals, to build out your own network from the people who you're working with, you know, the ability to reach back out into your universe, whether it's to gain intelligence about, hey, what are my customers like? I mean, there's more than one dimension to CRM, and a lot of people look at it as a very one-dimensional object that's there to just do nothing but hold names and addresses. Yeah. And it's so much more than that.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is probably to keep, you know, if you have a pretty aggressive sales staff, maybe they might step all over each other, you know, calling on the same customer. And if you have two different people calling on the same customer, that doesn't make your organization look the best.
Well, so. And the other thing that you bring up with that is the ability to look at your salesmen and to be able to measure them consistently. Because a lot of times you can have two guys in the same opportunity, and one guy will say, oh, that's a deal, boss. We're going to close that. It's 90% done. And then the other guy says, well, wait a minute. We don't even have the decision maker in the room. Yeah. So it's 20% or 10% done. So what happens is it allows you to define, if it meets this criteria, it's 10%. If it meets this criteria, it's 50% or 80%. So what ends up happening is your pipeline is a more accurate pipeline, because if you take the revenue of that deal times the percentage of where it is in that deal, it gives you what's called expected revenue. And if you add that up for all your opportunities, you get a pretty good idea of what that expected revenue should be over a period of time. It's a great way to plan and forecast and look at your business, and also to kind of, if you need to, hey, you know what, we don't have that much in our pipeline, we need to get that up more, then you can focus in areas to generate more leads. It allows you to be much more agile in terms of where your weaknesses might be at any given period of time. Because the last thing you ever want to get to is you have a great sales quarter, and now you come into the next quarter and you have nothing.
Right.
So. Yep. That to me is having that visibility into all of that, I think, is the most crucial thing that you get with it.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, Brad, I really appreciate your insights.
Oh, I mean, thanks for having me, Ken.
You know, you and I, we get together pretty frequently, and we could talk about this for a long, long time. So I'm sure I'm going to have you back on. I know
Great.
A topic that is kind of near and dear to both of us, that I know you know an awful lot about, is marketing automation. So
Very passionate.
That's going to be that's going to be one of the next things that I want to have you actually have my podcast focus on.
So, looking forward to it. Yeah, thank you
great.
For your time.
Thanks. Excellent. Really appreciate it, Brad. So thanks, everybody, for joining Move the Needle Marketing Podcast. What I really try to do is I really try to focus on topics that are related to marketing for small and medium-sized businesses. And I do like to incorporate technology and business-related information as appropriate. So, and you can reach Brad also at brad@marketsimplicity.com. And I will put a link to his website, which is also marketsimplicity.com, in the notes of this podcast. So really appreciate it, Brad. Thanks very much, and you guys have a great day.